Thank you, May. So we take a pause this week from the life group series. So unless you're in Becky's group, you have no life group this week. Hopefully that's not news to you. And because it's Remembrance Day this week, so we're having a week off. And so the finance team have been talking for some time about me doing another sermon on giving. And I've done my best to put it off. I don't think I need to preach on giving again. But apparently now is the time. So the truth is, most of us don't really want to talk about money, and the last thing we want to hear in church is someone talking about money. The last thing I want to talk about in church is money. But there we go. That being said, it's good for us to do now and again. A preacher once said this: the good news in our church is that we have all the money we need. The bad news is that some of it is still in your pockets. Churches need to be real. Money does not grow on trees. And if it's not given, ministries and churches will dry up. If you want a back of an envelope sketch as to what it costs to run the church, it is approximately $1,000 a day for St. George's. About half our money comes from donations, just over half, and the other half come from renting out spaces in the building, which is a blessing in one sense, but it also means that our ministry is limited because if we've rented out the space, we can't use it. Normally when I preach on giving and mention anything around rentals, some people get very excited and say, ooh, we could rent out some more space and then we wouldn't need to have as much given. So if that's you, I'll just put a pause on that and say, I don't think that is the healthy way for us to think as the church, because as we know, the more we rent out our space, the less we can do ourselves. And then we would go back to the question, which is kind of existential, but what's the point of having a big building if we don't get to use it? So you see in churches that are healthier that there is more income coming from giving than there is from renting out space. Typically in churches, when there are talks about giving, they revolve around vision. We talk about ministry, about reaching people for Christ, about serving our community. We hope that people will give in response to our vision. And they do. Over the last 10 years, we saw when we asked for money for turning the space out there, some people call it a narthex, some people call it a foyer, or others call it a cafe. I don't mind what you call it. We said we would transform the space, we'd recarpet it, repaint it. This was in 2017. And people said, so what are we going to do, David? We're going to do bake sales. We're going to do fairs. I said, no, I'm going to ask people to give money and they're going to give it. And I was laughed at. But you came up trumps. And those who have gone before came up trumps. And I asked for the money. They gave the money. We did the work. And we get to enjoy the space. So the cost, though, of running the church is more than just looking after the building. In fact, the biggest cost to run the church is the staff, people like me and Roxanne. And that is exactly as it should be, because I heard it said by a preacher once, buildings don't bring people, people bring people. And so when you invest in people, then you get more people coming. If you wonder what matters to you, there's two ways to find out. You can look at your bank statement, and you can look at your diary. Where we spend our money and where we spend our time indicates what's most important to us. So I want to focus today not on vision and saying, we have this big campaign, and let's all give so we can make it happen, but more looking at our heart. What does it mean to give generously and to have a heart for giving? Our heart and our treasure are in the same place. In the best-selling book, The 7 Habits for Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey has an illustration where he has a bunch of rocks of different sizes. And he says that if you want to get all the rocks in the jar, you have to put the big ones in first. Put first things first. I've just saved you reading chapter 1 of that book now, because that's all it really says. He goes on for ages, but that's the gist of it. If you put the big rocks in first, then the other rocks and the sand will go in around it. And so with our finances, it's good to work out what we want to do with them so that we're telling our money where to go rather than wondering where it went. So I'm going to talk about the principles of giving, and I'm going to make a big assumption. I'm going to make an assumption that everything comes from God. As it says in one of the Eucharistic prayers, all things come from you, and of your own do we give you. Everything comes from God. I've told a story before about donuts, and some of you like donuts, others of you would like to swap donuts for some other treat. But the concept is, imagine you have a box of 10 donuts, and someone hands you this box as a gift. And they then look at you with a kind of hungry look on their face. And you think, well, surely they've just given me 10 donuts. I could give them one back. That essentially is the concept of giving that we talk about in the church. All that we receive is from God, and we give a little bit back to God. As I say, if you don't believe everything is given to you by God, then none of this will make any sense. We don't give to receive blessing, as we just heard from Corinthians, but as we give, freely and cheerfully, we will be blessed. It says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. You know when you decide to give that it does more for you often than the person you've given to. I still remember the day in geography class at school where my teacher came in and he had the most beaming smile on his face. And we said, why are you so happy today, sir? And he said, because I decided on my way into work, I was going to let more people in front of me. And he said, and I let the first person in and I felt good. And I kept doing it. And by the time I got to work, I was kind of on top of the world. We had a great lesson that day. I don't remember what it was about, but it was geography. So probably something fun like plate tectonics or whatever. But that's the truth, isn't it? In that case, he wasn't giving money to the people. He was just giving them a way in to come in front of him in the line. It makes a difference to us what we do, what we give away. Everything comes from God. What are we supposed to give God? Well, the Bible says, give your first fruits. It comes up 22 times in Proverbs. And the word that's used is a tithe. And a tithe is the Hebrew for a tenth. So if you're in an agricultural society, then it was actually about the first fruits. The first fruit that grew on the tree, that was the fruit that you'd give away. There's basically three kinds of giving. Three levels of giving. The first one is a tithe. Back to my donuts, assuming you have 10 donuts. A tithe is you give one donut away. And you give it to the church you go to. The next level is an offering. That's like giving two donuts. It's like saying, I'm not just going to give my first 10%. I'm going to give more than that. And then the third level is a sacrificial offering. A sacrificial offering is giving to the point that it costs you. So that might be giving five donuts away out of your 10. The tithe is given to the local church. After a tithe, if you have money left over, that would be an offering. So maybe you've set up your giving and then you get a Christmas bonus or some tax back or something else that comes up that is surprising. If you give from that, that would be an offering. Giving to Christian charities or charities outside the church would be, in these terms, considered an offering. The third level of offering, a sacrificial offering, is the one that costs us a lot. It's giving something that isn't spare. That means there will be an element of sacrifice. And in each of these cases, what giving does is it works in our hearts. So, everything is from God. We give of our first fruits. And giving is for everyone. The story from the widow's mite that we heard read from Mark's gospel tells us that. There are rich people throwing in large amounts, it says. But that large amount was probably quite small compared to what they had. And it's in a whole section where Jesus is talking about the Pharisees who, you know, want to kind of show off their giving because they wanted to be seen, to be more holy. And then the widow comes and gives almost nothing. It says they gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on. Did you know when it comes to charitable giving, the average Canadian gives less than 1% of their income? But interestingly, the average Canadian whose annual income is under $12,000 a year, so low, gives nearer 2%. So we can see that the poorest in our country are actually giving double in proportion to what they have. So how do you give a tithe? Well, if you have a household budget, which I hope you do, then put the tithe as your first line. Practically, what that looks like is if your income is $1,000 a month, you might give a donation of $100 as your tithe. If you don't know what you give, then you can look on our system called Breeze, where it has an up-to-date tracker that tells you how much your giving is doing this year. And you could work out what percentage that is. For some people, they would love to give 10%, but it feels like a big jump. And so I was talking to someone this week who had increased their giving by a small percentage each year. So maybe you say, I'd like to give 10%, but right now I'm giving 1%. Maybe next year you could give 1.5%, and the year after, 2%. It's a bit like, if you're not offended by this, boiling a frog. You know, sorry if you like frogs, but they say that if you want to boil a frog, you have to turn the temperature up slowly. You could use all sorts of images, but that's essentially what it's like. Do a little bit, do a little bit, and then before you know it, you'll realize how much you're giving away. Three quick FAQs. Firstly, how much should I give if I'm in debt? It's been said there's two kinds of debt. There's debt that you can pay back and debt that you can't. So your tithe level should be a level that is still possible if you have mortgage or rent. If you have debts apart from a mortgage, you should pay that off before going any higher. Don't feel pressure to give. If you've got money stacked on credit cards and you're trying to pay them off, give your basic tithe if you can, but then pause. We don't want to be putting giving on credit cards because that brings on anxiety for families and marriages. Biggest pressures in our households these days are normally around money. Second question I'm often asked, what if your spouse doesn't come to church? Everyone has a different financial situation, and I'm not going to answer every question, but some people, they find that giving weekly instead of monthly is helpful, so it's smaller amounts. Other people prefer to give and not receive a tax receipt because they don't really want to track how much they're giving. If you are in the habit of stopping by a cafe and picking up a coffee and a cookie on your way to church, you will not get much change these days from $5, right? Depending where you go. Other places, it's more like $10. So skip the drive-through, enjoy the coffee when you get to church, and put the $5 in the box here. We won't give you loyalty points. but the rewards are out of this world. Ba-dum-tsh. I need Andrew to go ba-dum-tsh on the drums there. That was my best joke. For others, it may be giving time and skills. You can't give money at all for various reasons. And maybe because you have someone in your house that says, no, I really don't think you should be giving to the church. But you can give time and skills. Giving skills, they say that time is money. We have a bunch of people, I think about 60 when I last counted, that serve in all sorts of different ways in the church. People that volunteer doing practical tasks, administrative tasks, on committees. And if we were to have to employ people to do all the things that are gifted through volunteer time, we would probably go bankrupt tomorrow as a church. We rely on the generosity of people's time. And so don't feel that if you can't give money, that your time is not as valuable, because often it is even more valuable. So I would encourage you to do that if you can. Anything where we can't find a volunteer to do, either it doesn't happen or we have to pay someone. Maybe you can use a vacuum cleaner. You can wash windows, cut hedges, pressure wash buildings, fill in grant applications, paint, fix, repair, bake, garden. I could go on. The best way, if you want to give a percentage of your time and want to take on something new as a gift, is go to the website, fill out the serving form. There's about 20 questions. They're just tick boxes of things you might be interested in, and then we'll follow up with you. Practically, if you have questions about giving, the finance team are going to be around later today as well. Ask one of them. If you don't know who they are, ask the people with the red tags, and you can have a chat with someone. You can have a chat with me. I'm always happy to work with people if they want to look at budgets and how you would look at your personal finances to get things in order, especially if you've got debt you want to get out of. Because often those practical things can deeply impact our spiritual lives. Others might have very low incomes, maybe if you're retired, but you have savings and would like to give a gift to the church or leave a legacy gift. There are great ways to give and maximize tax benefits at the same time. At the moment, the rumor is that the government are going to be changing that, and there's talk about removing any tax receipts from places of any religious organization in the future. That's being worked on now. So pray that that doesn't happen if you enjoy getting your tax receipts. And in the meantime, we have a seminar later today, and we'll talk about some of the ways that the tax receipts and things work. That's all quite practical. But sometimes when we understand the practical, I've talked to people in the past who just didn't realize that if they gave to the church, they would get almost half of it back in a reduction in taxes when they do their tax return. And that's enabled them to increase the amount they gave. Or people who said, no, I don't worry about the tax receipt. I'm only putting in $10 a week. But we have someone that adds up your giving, and at the end of the year, your $10 a week is $520. And as I say, it soon adds up. Back to the box of donuts that God gives you. Maybe you need more donuts than you have, and you need to ask others for help. Maybe you have more donuts than you need, and you can give others away. I never thought that I'd give much money away to the church, to be honest. I thought that by giving up my career in the rail industry, that was enough of a sacrifice, taking a pay cut to go work for the church. I thought because I was giving my whole life in service to God that I didn't need to give. But then I was challenged. I was challenged by one of my professors to see everything the other way around. He was really clear with us. It's God that provides the donuts. And it turns out that I can give one back. And that's why giving money to the church is a spiritual matter, because it helps me to grow in faith. and it means, quite frankly, that I'm here with both feet in. I don't just work here, but I'm part of the community. And that means I'm part of the giving community too. So I'm not saying anything that I'm not doing myself. I've struggled through the years working out what that looks like for me. So if you've struggled through the years too, then bless you. It's kind of how it is. But it's good to have these conversations. Generous living, a heart for giving, is the title I put on the screen. And that really is what I believe this is to do with. We've scratched the surface. There's so much more that God has in store for us here as a church community. And many of the things that we'd love to do will need us to work in this area so that we can, between us, see the church grow and flourish in the future. So we can invest in more ministries. We can reach more young people and seniors and babies and parents and families so that we can build a legacy as a church that is active now and active in the years to come. So I don't know where you are. My aim when I preach a talk like this is that one person tells me I'm going to put my giving up by some amount. So I set the bar really low. And we do this about once a year. And the reason we do it about once a year is because I don't need to do it anymore. Because what I see in the hearts of people in this church family is that we get what it's like to give. We want to give. And that that people always respond. And as I encounter other churches, Anglican churches around the diocese, it's quite interesting seeing what's going on. And I'm always just grateful for the folks here. I probably would say this, wouldn't I? But I'm always grateful for the commitment that people here have to the church. We're not having to run a fundraiser every second Wednesday to keep ourselves going because of the commitment that each of us already make in different ways, time and money. So I'm going to pray. I invite you to close your eyes as I do. God, we recognize this is a big area, and for many of us, we struggle with the idea of giving away from what we have. For others of us, we'd love to give more, but feel we can't. So Lord, wherever we are with giving, would you be at work in our hearts? Help us to come back to that truth, that all the donuts are yours, that all things come from you, and of your own do we give you. Amen. So we're going to have a